Live from Sacramento, California.
Woke up quick at about noon.
Featuring Damian Barling.
Yes, I absolutely still love Russell Westbrook. So what?
And Kenny Caraway.
Sometimes you're really just vibing out.
This is D-Lo and KC.
I'm the street's voice out west. Legendary self-made progress. Last time that I checked.
On ESPN 1320.
Yo, we up here grinning ear to ear because we got to hear the intro today, baby. What's
yes,
good?
Sir.
Welcome in. Episode number 2 of D-Lo and KC. Damian Barling along with Kenny Caraway here on ESPN 1320. We thank you so much for tuning in. We welcome those listening on the radio.com app. We welcome those listening all over the world. We welcome those listening. But he working
they
at home.
All over the world.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt, man. That's how we roll. That's the beauty of the radio.com app, man. And it's the beauty of social media. You can connect with us at D-Lo and KC on Twitter. At D-Lo and KC. That's a great spot to start. You can also get with us on Instagrams. We just did a little Instagram live there as we prepared for today's show. There's basketball going on right now. What if I told you, it's the beginning of a 30 for 30 here. What if I told you that the Orlando Magic were going to take a 10-point lead into halftime over the Milwaukee Bucks. Would you believe me?
No, not
at
all.
The Milwaukee Bucks right now, headed into halftime, are up 62-52 over the Milwaukee Bucks. Orlando Magic are up 62-52 on the Milwaukee Bucks right now in a playoff game that is happening at noon.
You know, Damian, there was no reason for the Kings to get just gangsta slapped the way they did by the Orlando Magic in that second game of the bubble. But people act like Orlando Magic don't have some ball players on that team.
Oh, no, they're good.
They got some ball players. Like, I think the misconception a lot, like it's happened like the last 2 years, the Kings have played the Magic. Oh, there's no way they should be losing to the Magic. Magic, they got a better roster than the Kings. I'll tell you that. The Magic, they got some ball players on there. Now, I didn't see this happening, but they got some ball players.
Well, I mean, we didn't see it happening, but it is one half. It's just you probably.
I didn't even see one half happen. I'm gonna be honest with you.
We did not see a situation where Orlando would be taking a lead into halftime of the first game. But that's where we're at, and we'll keep you updated as we got the games in front of us. We got a slate of 4 NBA playoff games today, and that was one of the great things yesterday. I didn't realize as we were doing the show, as we were trying to follow, you know, the end really late in the fourth quarter. I was keeping an eye on the Jazz and the Nuggets and trying to keep everybody updated. Obviously, they went into overtime. I wasn't aware until after the show ended that Donovan Mitchell had 57 yesterday.
Oof. Oof. The show him and Jamal Murray put on, oh, man, the shot making was crazy. The one-on-one moves, the things. I mean, that was high-level stuff right there, Damian. High-level stuff.
I got a question for you, but I want to lay out the show for everybody. Grant Cohn is going to join us here at 1:20. He's going to give us an update on everything that is going on with the San Francisco 49ers. There's a lot to talk about there with, by the way, Grant Cohn was the first one to have the George Kittle news. George Kittle kind of balked at it, but it was I've learned a little bit about how news is broken. It's an interesting phenomenon, and it has a lot to do with agents. And not necessarily player agents, and I'll explain that. But Grant Cohn had that news first, and he's going to join us at 1:20 to talk about all things involving the San Francisco 49ers. Some names have emerged, according to the Sacramento Bee, in the Kings general manager search. We'll have that for you in about 20 minutes. But let's start with this. You mentioned Jamal Murray. We were talking about the games. Obviously, we got to talk about all of the games that went on yesterday. But Jamal Murray, is he underrated? I don't feel like Jamal Murray gets the same love that is Jamal Murray on par with Donovan Mitchell?
Yeah, he definitely is. I think
I don't feel like he gets talked about like Donovan Mitchell.
You don't think so?
Nah, I don't think so.
You're probably right. But he's definitely on par with Donovan Mitchell. Jamal Murray's a bad man.
He's a beast.
That boy can play. Love me some Jamal Murray. Wanted him out of Kentucky. Wanted him to come here. You know, I think we missed him by a pick. But I remember
let's
out
not
of Kentucky.
Do that. It's too early to go over things that we might have missed in a draft.
Yeah. Well, at least they didn't pass him up. Like, that was the thing. I wanted him to become a Sacramento King, and he's as good as I thought he would be.
Yeah, 20 of his 36 points last night came in the fourth quarter. and overtime. And, you know, obviously, rightfully so, 57 points for Donovan Mitchell. There's a lot of focus on that. But, you know, the Nuggets get the win. Jamal Murray is a big reason why. And you look at that, yeah, that's a solid combination that the Nuggets have with Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray, and then, of course, their coach, Mike Malone, who kind of leads the way from that. That's a solid roster. It's not sexy. There's nothing sexy. There's actually nothing sexy, I think, about either one of these teams. Like, it's the Jazz and it's the Nuggets. Like, there have been good Nuggets teams in the past. There's the iconic photo of, or the iconic, you know, video of Dikembe Mutombo on the ground with the ball in his hands. And the Jazz, obviously, two straight NBA finals. They had Karl Malone and John Stockton forever. But I don't think anybody ever gets excited over the Denver Nuggets and the Utah Jazz.
Not at all. Not at all. Now, you mentioned Murray and the Joker. And those are definitely one and two. But Denver's got one in the holster. He's got one in the holster. And you just told me not to do this, but I got to do it now. That boy, Michael Porter Jr. Oh, man.
Yeah.
No disrespect to Luka Hive or nothing like that, but that's the one I wanted. That's the one I wanted in that draft. Michael Porter Jr.
At two?
I understand.
You wanted him at two?
Michael Porter Jr. Yes, Michael Porter Jr. He's the next KD.
Now, there was a time where there was nothing outrageous about that. There was a time we've talked about that draft being a two person draft. It was DeAndre Ayton and it was Luka Doncic. It morphed into something else later on, but it was a two person draft for the bulk of the year. Prior to the start of that season, it was Michael Porter Jr.'s draft.
Yes.
He was the number one overall pick, and everybody else was going to fall into place after him. And, you know, obviously the injuries that he sustained, everything that went on with him. But I can understand why teams didn't. You know, the Nuggets had that luxury, I think, because they were already a good team. And there was that moment where they drafted him, and it was kind of like, oh, man. Like, if this pans out, you have a team that was – I don't want to say it was risk-free. It wasn't risk-free anytime you're, you know, drafting at that position. But still, it was like, hey, we're already good.
Yeah.
If we get him, great. And if it pans out, even better. They drafted him, and it appears right now, especially after this, you know, he had some moments during the, you know, regular season several months ago. But he's really had some, like, eye-opening moments in the restart.
No, he is the truth. And in that draft, anything after 10 is a justifiable in that context. Like, I know he had the back issue, and I remember on draft day, like, people were, like, examining how he walked down the steps from the stage, and they're like, this guy, he's not going to make it. Like, he can't even walk down the steps. And, like, that was a big thing. And in my opinion, anything after 10, I would have grabbed him in a heartbeat. I remember the Clippers had two picks. And passed them up. And I think, obviously, as you can see, I think really highly of the ceiling for Michael Porter Jr. I'm not here to say, you know, none of that best player in the draft type of stuff. I just know if he stays healthy, he's going to be a multi-time all-star, possible scoring champion in this league. Like, he's it. He's that dude.
And that's what that's what people expected. That's what they hoped, but it was all contingent on, can this young man stay healthy? So I understand there are Kings fans that are concerned about Bagley, and you know, you're hearing, you know, Bowie Jordan, you know, comparisons as it pertains to Bagley and Doncic. You know what I mean? You've got, you know, Oden and KD. Anytime someone comes in with an injury, there's been enough to scare teams away. And like, I can understand that, but it's that thing where, hey, if it works, woo, we hit a home run. And it looks like the Denver Nuggets crew hit a home run with the selection of Michael Porter Jr. You mentioned Luka Doncic just a moment ago. He made history once again, as he has been prone to do in his 2 years as an NBA player. However, he does not get the W. Now, the way that this game shaked out, I'm going to ask you as we get into the details of it, are you willing to change your tune a little bit? You said sweep. You said break out the brooms. You said the Dallas Mavericks were not going to win a game. Did anything that happened yesterday change your mind?
Well, Damian, I watched the tape. You know, I watched the
very
tape.
Very good. Thank you, Luke. Thank
and,
you, Luke.
I could see Dallas getting one, maybe even two. You know, if they're hitting threes the way they were yesterday, they're really good. Now, in that second half, I know Porzingis wasn't there, but in the second half, the threes weren't falling as freely as they were in the first half, and you saw you know, the Clippers gain control of that game. But if they can shoot the three ball, and I don't see any reason why they can't shoot it really well with the Seth Curry, with my man Tim Hardaway Jr., with Luka, even Porzingis stepping back beyond the arc every now and then, Finney Smith. Like, they got guys that can shoot the pill, and that could cause some problems for the Clippers every now and then. So I'm willing to run that back a little bit and say, you know, Dallas could get a game, maybe even two, but no more than that. No more.
But you were probably feeling good with your sweep prediction about 2 minutes into the game when it felt like, oh dear, this thing might be over, and it might be over quick. But you know, one of my biggest praises of the Dallas Mavericks will be their coach, and it's Rick Carlisle, and he got his team settled down. They got going. Obviously, Luka Doncic got going. We mentioned the history that he made, 42 points. He's the first player to score 40 plus points in his postseason debut. And in terms of players under the age of 21, the most points by players under the age of 21, LeBron James has 45. Luka, Tracy McGrady, Magic Johnson, they all have 42. LeBron Wow. James is actually fifth on that list, as well as he had 41. He had quite a 2006 run in the postseason. Kawhi Leonard, 29 points. Paul George, 27 points. The talk of yesterday's game, though, while, you know, talking about Luka's fantastic and the amount of points that he put up is fantastic, and that deadly combination of Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, a lot of the conversation is centering around Kristaps Porzingis, the two technical fouls that he got, the reasoning for those two technical fouls, and the fact that he got tossed when the game was at a critical juncture there.
Completely unfair. Let me take that back. It was the wrong call. I want to say that it was the wrong call for him to be ejected in that situation. I need the referees to understand the moment, understand what's going on. The first technical he got was absolutely ridiculous. And for what was going on, I don't think that neither one of those guys deserved a technical in that situation. Now, here's where I'm going to come on the other side. If you're Porzingis, you got one technical. Damian, let me ask you a question. How many times in those little dust-ups do they go to the monitor and nobody gets anything? Rarely, if ever, right?
Yeah, I feel like it's always a double technical.
Yeah, so somebody's going to get something.
Which is such a cop-out, but I feel like that's what happens a lot.
It is, but we know how it works. Kristaps Porzingis cannot get involved in that situation at all. With one technical, he can't get involved in it. If he's doing anything, it's to pull Luka away and keep it moving that way. You can't put no forearm in the Marcus Smart's chest and do all this other stuff and be part of
Marcus
the dust
Morris.
Stuff. Marcus
yeah.
Morris,
yeah.
Not Marcus.
Kind of one in the same. I get it. One in the same.
Right. Yeah. You can't. Marcus Morris Senior. By the way, we have to put that on there.
Oh, yeah. Good point. Good point. Hey, hold that thought. We're going to talk more about what went on with the Mavericks and the Clippers. We mentioned Marcus Smart. We'll talk about the Celtics and the Sixers. I know you don't like this, my friend, but we're going to have to talk about your San Francisco Giants as well as. And more baseball news as unwritten rules have reared their ugly head again. Plus, we've got details on the Kings general manager shirts. We're just getting started here. It's D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320.
Now back to D'Lo and KC. D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320.
We appreciate you so much for tuning in. And if you'd love to chime in, chat along, you certainly can. Hit us up on social media at D'Lo and KC. That's both on Twitter and on Instagram as well. And, of course, follow the main account at ESPN 1320. You were really diving into the Dallas Mavericks there a moment ago. We were digging into that Clippers-Mavericks game. And, you know, there's a lot we've got to get to. We've got baseball going on. We've got unwritten rules in baseball rearing their ugly head. We got basketball playoff games going on. We've got to talk about the Kings, but I kind of want to wrap things up in terms of the games last night. You have an issue with Luka Doncic. So do you want to go ahead and air your grievances here?
Yeah, I definitely do. And let me start off by saying Luka Doncic is an A1 talent. That boy can play. All right. He can ball. This takes nothing away from what I think of him talent wise. But I know it might be a problem out here for a lot of people. But you know what? Bernie Mac on Def Comedy Jam. Kick it. I ain't scared of y'all. All right. You know what I'm saying? Luka Doncic cries and whines all game long, and I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. If you want to be quite frank, the reason why Porzingis got kicked out of that game is a complete ridiculous overreaction by Luka Doncic when Morris had him wrapped up or whatever the case may be. Everybody was just chilling. And Luka does this whole theatrical, dramatic, get off of my arm. And it's ridiculous. I'm sick of seeing. He cries every single time. Every time he doesn't get his way, he cries and whines, whether it's a bad call, whether it's a missed shot, whether it's somebody, you know, not making a shot or whatever the case may be. I'm sick of seeing it. I really am. I'm sick of seeing it.
So I want to be clear. You're upset with Luka Doncic for acting like virtually every other NBA superstar in the league.
I think he does it the most.
Kenny Caraway, come on. More than James Harden?
A lot more than James Harden.
Kenny.
How many times? I'm going to break it down. There was at least four instances in this bubble alone where Luka apparently, quote unquote, got hurt, and everybody had to know he was hurt. In the Kings game, he got ripped by Bazemore. He holds his thumb, doesn't even run back, just holds his thumb, can't move or anything like that, and they go up and they score a layup on the other end. He comes out of a timeout. His thumb is all wrapped. You know, he's just holding everything. Stop. The other day against Milwaukee.
Unless they brought a wheelchair out for him, I don't want to hear it.
It's coming next. It's probably coming. I can tell you that. Yesterday, he can barely walk. He hurts his ankle. He has to let everybody know, oh, my ankle hurts. Oh, my ankle hurts. He comes back and drops 40. Like, your ankle don't hurt that bad, bro. Stop. I'm sick of seeing it. Like, he's the most. He's the most right now. I'm trying to think of somebody else. I'm trying to be fair. Give me somebody else who might do it. LeBron is up there, but he don't do it like this.
When does this line of KC Haterade go on the shelves? Is that available for purchase? Do you got to buy it in bulk? Is this on Amazon? Can we order this on the radio.com app? Like, what flavors? How many flavors you got?
Hey, Luka can ball, man.
You got a Starburst flavor.
He just cries, man. He cries. Watch a Luka Doncic game, man. He cries all game long. Every foul on him needs to be reviewed. Every foul needs to be reviewed. Oh, no.
First of all,
he looks at the bench. No, review it. Review it every time. Come on, man.
Every NBA, he's like a cornerback in the NFL. Every time they get beat on pass, they got to call for pass interference. Throw the flag. You got to throw the pass interference call.
It needs to be clear.
He was hurt. His ankle was hurt. You know how I know his ankle was hurt? Mm. He changed shoes. I noticed that when he was when he was sitting on the chair. I was like, yo, he had a different pair of Jordans on earlier. Now this pair of shoes he's got.
He changed shoes at halftime. Not after he got hurt. He changed shoes.
Well, what
shoes
you
at
want
halftime.
Him to do? Check out, go change his shoes, come back in the game, and then you be mad at him for checking out and then going to change his shoes?
No, I'm just saying it's not the fact that I'm not saying he didn't roll his ankle, but the theatrics of him rolling his ankle. Like, I'm just going to stand here in the corner and I got to touch my ankle because it hurts so bad. Fam, we saw you roll your ankle. Like, we get it. We don't need everything else.
Leave the crown prince alone. Crown prince. We've got a crown prince and we got a king. And both of them complain a lot.
And here's the point. Here's the thing. LeBron gets raked through the coals for that. He gets it. Like, they give it to the crying king. Like, they talk about him crying all the time. Keep the same energy. Because watch Luka tomorrow. Watch him. He ain't going to change. He's going to do it. Watch him. He complains all game long. Fam, you're too good. Just ball, man. Just play.
We're six days away from Kobe Day, and Kobe Bryant's looking down on us like, you've got to be kidding. You call that too much complaining? Go back and watch my final year before I did that big farewell across the country. Go back and watch that season and then tell me about too much complaining. The Celtics, they have every right to complain. They're going to be without Gordon Hayward for a while. He's got a grade 3 ankle sprain. He's going to be out for 4 weeks. That is a big, big loss for a team that got a big, big win yesterday. The Celtics with a 109-101 victory. I think you and I both like the Celtics in this series.
Yeah. I think the Celtics are going to get that. That boy Tatum was out there balling. He gave a shout out to our man Deuce Mason. You know what I'm saying? After the game, you know.
Stop it! Don't do that! Don't do that!
He did. He said it. He said Deuce. He said Deuce. I know he's got a son that's Deuce, but we're gonna look past that. He shouted out Deuce Mason.
You and Deuce are literally the only two people who believe that shout out was for him. And as soon as I saw that, I was like, Deuce is going to post this. Deuce Mason is going to post this on every social media account he has. And sure enough, a couple minutes later, there's Deuce. Deuce and Mo, of course, part of the Be Her
podcast
platform.
That boy was balling, though, man. Tatum was doing his thing. Joel was balling.
Hey.
This is why I think Boston will win, because Joel can play as well as he did yesterday, and it still might not be enough.
You could keep talking about Jason Tatum if you want to, but Jaylen Brown?
Yeah.
Celtics shout are 14-0. 14-0 when Jaylen Brown scores 25 points in a game this season.
Wow.
14-0. Of course, he had some help, as you mentioned, Jason Tatum there, as they're the first pair of Celtics teammates, both 23 or younger, with 25 points in the same playoff game. I'm a big body language guy, man, and watching Joel Embiid walk off the floor yesterday, I looked at that like, oh, man, this is tough. Now, they're obviously without Ben Simmons. Joel Embiid, you talk about guys who it's always big men get beat up the most.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's why, you know, DeMarcus Cousins had his faults, but he was beat up a lot. Shaquille O'Neal, you know, led the league. Dwight Howard used to lead the league in technicals, because these big guys, they get beat up a lot when they're down there working in the post, and they don't get the same calls that, you know, guards not named De'Aaron Fox in the NBA get. Right. And I, you know, watched Joel Embiid walk off that floor yesterday, and I thought, oh, man. He just looked, and it could be the emotion of the game. He just looked defeated walking off of that floor. And it's got to be tough for the Celtics today, knowing they're going to be without Gordon Hayward for the very least, at least 4 weeks. But if my mindset was right, and it was Gordon Hayward's right, if I think he leave the bubble.
Yeah.
Leave. Yeah. Go rehab in Boston. Be with your wife. You know, I know this is maybe insensitive, but you could probably knock two birds out with one stone. Like, you leave the bubble, you're spending time with your wife, if she has the baby, she's due in the 4 week period, and then come back.
It's almost,
I assume,
know,
the Celtics will still be around.
I think they will be too, but it's almost like when you're at home and, you know, you're with the missus, and you're like, babe, you want to watch a movie? And, you know, you spend that quality time. But the reason why you offer to watch that movie is because, you know, there's no games on that you want to watch. So it's like, yeah, there's nothing on I'd really watch right now anyway. So let's watch a movie. Yeah, let's spend some time together. Gordon Hayward, you know that you're coming back. You know you're coming back to the bubble. The Celtics should be able to take care of you, or take care of the Sixers without you. So, yeah, let me go be here for the, you know, for the birth of my child.
Well, he was going to be there anyway.
Yeah, he would have been there anyway. But
he said that months ago. Yeah,
knock them both out, like you said, Damian. Knock them both out.
He's going to be there anyways. And I don't. This series is far from over, and it was a close game last night. Celtics win 109-101, and then this is going to be a difficult series. It's going to be even more, you know, difficult now.
Did game one change your opinion? Do you think like the Sixers have more of a chance after seeing them? Like, I know you said,
I think
the
they have more of a chance because Gordon Hayward's out the rest of the series. Okay. I liked Boston in this series. I like Boston. You know, I feel like once we get to Boston, Toronto, Milwaukee, it's a pick 'em. You remember that 10-point lead that Orlando had? Well, it's down to 4, and it actually just went back up to 4. They had gotten it tied there just a moment ago. So Milwaukee, you know, they're closing in on Orlando here in this playoff game that is going on in the afternoon. And as Kenny and I both laid out, we love this atmosphere where we get basketball all day long. It's not going to last for very long, but we're going to have it through the first round of the playoffs here. We're going to talk more basketball when we get to the Kings. Actually, let's shift to the Kings right here. I know there's baseball stuff we want to do, and I'm trying to spare your feelings a little bit by holding off the disaster.
I appreciate you, Damian.
Yeah, I got you, man. Like I got love for you. Just because we started doing the show yesterday doesn't mean that I don't have love for you. Our relationship goes back away, so I'm gonna spare you the heartache of talking about what went on with your San Francisco Giants yesterday. I'm not going to spare you for the day, but I'm going to spare you for now as we're talking NBA, and we're going to transition. Jason Anderson had a report today in the Sacramento Bee that the Kings, they actually have a direction with their coaching search. And it'd be a good time to point out that Jason Anderson is going to join us here tomorrow on D'Lo and KC at 12:50 to talk about this very report. Again, that's coming up tomorrow. He says that the Sacramento Kings have hired a search firm to help them in this general manager search, and a couple of names that are on the preliminary list of candidates. I think a number of Sacramento Kings fans will be excited about. This includes San Antonio Spurs Vice President of Basketball Operations Brent Berry, Toronto Raptors General Manager Bobby Webster, your boy, actually our guy, I'm a big fan of his, the New York Knicks General Manager Scott Perry, the Assistant General Manager for the Boston Celtics Mike Zarian, Miami Heat Assistant General Manager Adam Simon, and the Los Angeles Clippers Assistant General Manager Trent Redden.
So what was your pause about Webster? What's your...
He's not leaving Toronto.
Okay. I figured that's what it was, but I was just
like, it's like if I planned a party and was like, yo, I'm inviting Jamie Foxx, I'm inviting John Legend, I'm inviting Kendrick, like, it's nice.
Yeah.
And ultimately I'm gonna be happy with my friends that come, but that list isn't real. Now, I think there are names on this list that are very real. Obviously Scott Perry and his ties to Joe Dumars. And I feel like Joe Dumars, amongst others, is the figure that is looming over this general manager search. They say he's going to be a part of it. They say he's the executive vice president of basketball operations. But I wonder, like, is he the definitive voice in all of this?
Well, how it was explained to me was, you know, talking to Jason Jones, my partner on J Street Vibes, you know the vibes. How it kind of was explained to me is like, Joe Dumars, because my concern was he wanted to be the GM, and I didn't want Dumars to be the GM. But it's kind of the way he probably wants it, according to reports, is he wants to be like that Pat Riley type figure, right? Where I'm not the GM, I'm not doing the day-to-day stuff, but I'm the godfather here. You know, everything comes through me. I'm going to let the guys do their work, you know, below me. But at the end of the day, you know, when a deal needs to be closed or a decision needs to be made, it has to come through me. And that's, I'm actually kind of okay with that. I'm better with that than him trying to do the day-to-day GM stuff. But I'm okay with that. I'm okay with him being the man when it comes to the final decisions.
Is there any name on that list that really excites you?
I like Webster. You know, obviously, even if it's a long shot, I do like Scott Perry. We talked about it a little bit yesterday. I'm big on the relationships thing, man, and getting people to come in the building and sell them, you know, on just the idea of playing for the Sacramento Kings. I think that's something that's been missing for a long time, you know, here in Sacramento. And especially when you talk about the nature of some of the players that have come through here over the year, the biggest hurdle has just been getting them here. Once they're here, they all seem to love Sacramento. They're like, this is a pretty cool place. But the hardest thing is like actually getting them here, getting them in the building, getting them in the city. And I think Scott will at least get that. You know what I mean? So I like Scott Perry more than others.
He was with the Sacramento Kings for what, like a minute and a half?
Mm-hmm.
And he was able to get, you know, like he is the sole reason that people like Vince Carter signed here even for a year. He is the reason that people like, you know, Zach Randolph and those you know, that crop of veterans that came here during that, you know, that kind of odd transition year. Scott Perry was solely responsible for that. But then the Knicks job becomes available. And then is this a situation where Scott Perry just goes to your man Worldwide West and says, hey, what's my future here? Because I'm still a coveted general manager. So if I'm not a part of your plans, and Scott Perry is almost in the same position that Luke Walton is going to be in as the head coach, where it's like, you know, in Scott Perry's case, I don't know how many opportunities Luke Walton is going to have when his time in Sacramento was over. But I think, obviously, clearly, Scott Perry still has opportunities. And right. Is this a situation where he has to go to Worldwide West and say, talk to me? Like, if I'm a part of your long-term future, I said it when I was hired. This is my dream job. This is the New York Knicks. You're able to rebuild the Knicks. You're a legend forever. Yeah. I'm all about it. But if I'm not... Hey, I'm a peacock, man. You got to let me fly. Like, let a brother go. I've got other opportunities out here. And the Kings, by the way, of all of those names I just named, now this is just a preliminary list of candidates as reported by Jason Anderson in the Sacramento Bee today. They have to, they being the Sacramento Kings, they've got to talk to the Toronto Raptors first, and they got to get permission from the Toronto Raptors. They got to get permission from the New York Knicks and the Boston Celtics and all of these different teams that we named. The Kings have to get permission from all of them to be able to interview these guys. And in cases of actual general managers like Bobby Webster and Scott Perry, there's a strong possibility that the owners just go, no. Like, no, you can't. Yeah. Absolutely not. You can't speak with our guys. Assistant general managers usually aren't stopped, like, because this is an opportunity to be the general manager of a team.
Right.
And, you know, I'm confident that, you know, Mike Zarian, for example, Danny Ainge would lay out, like, here's what your future here might look like.
Right.
Here's what your future with Sacramento might look like. But you have the opportunity to run a team, and, you know, we've laid this all out for you. What do you want to do? And he'll allow my perception of Danny Ainge would lead me to believe he would allow Mike Zarian to make that decision for himself.
Yeah, and let's be honest with you. If I'm Joe Dumars and Vivek Ranadive, and I'm selling, you know, one of these guys that aren't sure about taking on this job, I might be real with him and tell him, like, look, what would make you look like a success here in Sacramento, at least to the fan base, it's a really, really low bar, right? Like, it's not like we need banners, you know what I'm saying? Like, you go to Chicago, yeah, they're like, we need you to restore the 90s. It's not that. Have us be competent, get us in the playoffs, and I can almost guarantee you'll get another contract. You know what I'm saying?
Like, oh, yeah, you get to the playoffs, you're getting another contract.
Yeah. So, you know, that may be appealing to some of these young guys, you know what I'm saying? To be able to say, hey, if I can do that, you know, I get a second contract, I get, you know, 7-8 years on my resume as a GM, that could be something that could be appealing to them.
You know how many, I feel like there are women all over the country who this sounds familiar to, where they have conversations with their girlfriends and their girlfriends are telling them, like, you know, dude, your man is terrible. And she goes, I know, but I'm going to be the one to save him. Like, I'm going to be the one to fix him. Like, I hate that we're the bad. I hate that we're that man.
Yeah.
The kings are. Of that. The general managers are the women across the country going, you know, I'm going to be the one to save him.
Yeah.
I'm going to fix him. I'm all those bad habits, all of those bad years of bad relationships.
Right.
I'm going to step out and I'm going to fix them. I hate that the kings are that.
And we just keep being dogs. We just keep being dogs. You know what I mean?
That's what it is, man.
It's a shame. But, you know, we can turn it around. You know, we can be delivered.
There's two positions. Was that a Deliver Us From Evil reference?
Oh, no. That was, remember that meme of the guy that was in. I don't even know if I want to go down that road.
Okay,
show,
don't.
Yeah.
Okay, don't. Okay, I thought you dropped a Gabrielle Union reference on us.
Twitter, if you guys know, you guys just holler at us.
But, at D-Lo and KC, that's the best way to connect with us. At D-Lo and KC, the best way to listen. Radio.com, we encourage you to download that app right now. Search ESPN 1320. Hit the heart button, and you can listen to us anywhere in the world. A lot of people have asked us about podcasts. I promise we'll talk about that in the second hour of this program. I've got to keep you updated, man. That lead has gone back up for the Orlando Magic. There are 3 minutes and 30 seconds left in the third quarter. It is right now 83-74. It is right now 86-74. The Orlando Magic with a 13-point lead over the Milwaukee Bucks.
Wow.
So, I put this off as long as I can. We've got to talk about your San Francisco Giants. And
let's go. Let's do it.
Everybody who tunes in, we hope that you're having a fantastic day. We know that times are tough right now. We know that things are weird. They're kind of out of the norm. But if nothing else, bottom of the bar, we really hope you're having a better day than Trevor Gotch and Gabe Kapler have been having. Like, Trevor Gotch, this is tough.
I feel bad for that man. I feel bad for that man, Trevor Gotch.
It's hard to do. Do pitchers get you hear this term in golf all the time. Do pitchers get the yips? You know, they talk about in golf when like the swing gets off and, you know, like everything is just slicing, it's cut, it's all over the place. Does that happen to pitchers? Do they get the yips?
Well, the biggest, most notable story that I probably know about it was Rick Ankiel. I remember, you know.
Right.
Where he could not throw a strike, you know, man. And he was a stud. He was a stud. Like, I don't know if it was a whole year or a half year, but his rookie year, stud, and then just literally got the yips. Now, this doesn't seem to be the issue with Gott. He's just giving up bombs. And it's kind of unfortunate because it's weird because mistakes are made by pitchers, you know, location and all this other stuff, you know, often in the game, probably more than people realize. And, you know, maybe they get popped out or, you know, they hit a ground ball or even, you know, a solid base hit. Every mistake he makes right now is leaving the yard.
Yeah.
Leaving the yard. And it's tough for the young guy, man. I feel for him. I'm not really here to pile on for him because, like, you know, when you talk about athletes, I don't think any of them are trying. I'm going out on a limb to say none of them are trying to mess up, right? You know what I'm saying? So he's doing the best that he can. And just, you know, all mistakes are getting bombed right now. So
two blown saves in his last three appearances, 11 earned runs. That's his last three appearances. Two earned runs last night. He one out, two earned runs. He was not out there long. At some point, do you have to stop putting him out there?
Yes, and this is that was
that
my
time
next
come
point.
And gone.
Yes, it's time. Like he can't go out there. Not right now, man. You got a number one look to save the kid, you know, and build his confidence back up, and not put him in those situations again. You know what I'm saying? Get him in a seventh inning role. You know what I mean? Get him in a situation where, you know, it's a clean inning, and you know, even if it's like a game where you're down, you know, 3-4 runs, and you just bring him in to get some work, to work on some stuff, and to feel good about himself. But you can't put him out there in a closing situation again. Gabe Kapler, what are you doing? Like, don't do that no more. Don't do that no more.
How much of the Giants' failure this early part of the season? I'm sorry. I don't even know that it's really considered early anymore, given how short the season
trade
is.
Trade deadline's like next week.
How much of, by the way, the NBA draft lottery's in 2 days. It's Thursday. How much of this, what is the San Francisco Giants, is on him?
There's a part of it because, like I mentioned yesterday, I just don't like his brand of baseball. I think it focuses too much on the so it's weird with him. Sometimes it focuses entirely on the analytics, and then sometimes it seems like he doesn't pay attention to the game at all. Like yesterday, in the Pujols at bat, why are you're down 2-0. You know, why not just put the four up and walk him and bring the rookie to the plate after him? Why give him an opportunity to hurt you in that situation? And it's just like he doesn't have a feel for the game at all. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know if that's something that he can grow into, if he can get more experience and get there. I know he knows the game. I mean, he's a baseball lifer, but he doesn't have a feel for the moments and the situations. So I think definitely some of it comes on him. But then I think a lot of it also goes on the general manager, Farhan Saadi. He's the one getting these players out there, getting these players on the roster. And once again, it gets back to what I talked about. I just don't like their brand of baseball. It's just not, it's not anything that's interesting right now. It's not anything that's a winning brand of baseball. And I'm just, it's not anything I look forward to. And I think they go hand in hand, but it's not anything that I look forward to.
By the way, David Fletcher, the Angels beat the Giants. I'm sure you figured that in the gist of this conversation. David Fletcher's on a 16-game hitting streak.
Jeez.
Is that I feel like there are some baseball records that are never, ever, ever going to be broken. Mm-hmm. And that hit streak is one of them.
Definitely. The two that come to mind is that one. That is not happening, the 56-game hitting streak and the back-to-back no-hitters. Back-to-back no-hitters. Nobody's getting three no-hitters in a row.
Yeah, I could see that record tied, though. I could see some.
I don't even think it'll be tied, to be honest with you. I can't. Like, back-to-back no-hitters, I don't see that happening. Yeah. Three of them, though, to break the record, not happening. I would even say that 56 would happen before three no-hitters.
See, I was just about to say the exact opposite. I could see someone pitching three no-hitters in a row before I could ever see someone hit. Like, what's the closest we've got? Wasn't it like 44? I think the closest we've got is 44.
Wasn't it Pete Rose who did that?
And really, you're not even close. Like, at 44, you're still not
you got another
close.
2 weeks straight that you have to go.
At minimum, unless, of course, you're the St. Louis Cardinals, then you got about three days. And you could I guess depending on what portion of the season you're in, if you're the St. Louis Cardinals. The bizarre circumstances surrounding the college football season got me thinking in another full day of NBA playoffs. We got that coming up, plus baseball's unwritten rules as D'Lo and Casey continue here on ESPN 1320.
Now, back to D'Lo and KC. D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320.
Yes, indeed. And on the radio.com app, you can listen to us anywhere at any time. You can even listen to us in DVR fashion. We've got a function on the radio.com app called Rewind, where you can catch the show at your own convenience, kind of our version of the podcast. And in addition to that, we've got the actual podcast. You just got to save us as your favorite show. K Diddy and I, coming from the digital world, you know, we're big on podcasting. We're big on demand availability, and we cannot stress this enough. The absolute best way to catch this show is through our radio.com app. So download that right now. It's an awesome, awesome app. Just search for it in your app store, radio.com. Search ESPN 1320 once you open up the app. Hit the heart button, and boom, you will never miss a single solitary second of D'Lo and Casey. And in case you do, you can use the rewind feature and catch up with anything. We don't want you to miss when Grant Cohen joins us at 1:20. We've also got our one-on-one segment coming up in just about 30 minutes or so. Man, we've still got a lot to talk about. We're going to have to call ESPN, man. I think we need at minimum another hour.
Come on now. Come on, speak on it, man.
I think speak it into existence, baby. Yeah, I think we need another hour together,
I need all of that.
We've got to talk about baseball. There was a situation yesterday in the Padres game, and you would think, hey, Padres, all right, let's see. Home runs, like, what do we got? Grand slams? Let's cue this sound up for you. This is what started it all yesterday in the Padres game.
This is in the air to right field. Back it goes. Nando has done it again. Fernando Tatis Jr., a grand slam. And the Padres go on top 14-3. Two home runs, seven RBIs for Fernando Tatis Jr.
That's good stuff right there, young man. He's killing it. Had a fantastic day yesterday.
He's a stud.
Now, indeed. Here's the next batter.
First grand slam for Fernando Tatis Jr., and that one is thrown behind Machado, but it slipped, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I can tell you exactly what that's all about.
Wow.
Swinging 3-0, which, I mean, hey, pitch better.
Oh, you can't swing it 3-0. It's one of those things in baseball that you're not allowed to do, and these guys get all in their feelings about it. And now this young man, who, by the way, is leading Major League Baseball in home runs with that grand slam yesterday. Grand slam, I don't care what you say about home runs in this era of baseball, grand slams are still special. Mm-hmm. He got his one yesterday because the pitcher, who's been suspended for three games, by the way, as has the manager for, what was that, Texas? They've been suspended for three games. But is it a mercy rule? Is this a thing?
Who knows, Damian?
Is it a mercy rule in Major League Baseball?
This is ridiculous. And let me start off by saying I love baseball. I absolutely love baseball, right? But they get it wrong almost all the time. Almost all the time they get it wrong. And now we've got this unwritten rule thing. You're up by – it wasn't like they was up by 25 runs, right? It was up 10-3. You know
what
I mean?
It wouldn't matter if they were.
If you're right, you're
25
right.
Runs, if you're going to throw one over the plate, my goal is to hit it. I'm going to hit it.
Yeah, thank you. I agree 100%. But, you know, it's 3-0, and I guess the Rangers just, you know, and everybody in baseball just wants you to let them get a strike or whatever the case may be, because, like you said, a mercy rule or whatever. And Fernando Tatis Jr. was like, no, I'm smacking this thing over the right center field wall. The fact that this is, you know, become such an issue in a lot of clubhouses and baseball ranks and everything, it's just a terrible look on Major League Baseball. Absolutely terrible look. They need to get rid of these unwritten rule things, some of them, right? Because look, I'm old school in some ways, right? When you talk about basketball, somebody comes down the lane, they need to hit the floor. You know what I'm saying? If they're out there, you know, finessing and jellying all the time and, you know, with uninhibited to the cup, at some point, somebody needs to hit the deck. I'm all for that. But come on, man. Like, this is ridiculous that you're going to go
in. You that guy? I didn't think you'd be that guy.
No, I'm old school like that. I'm old school like that. You're going to come in here, and I'm not going to hurt you. I'm not going to give you an elbow to the nose or nothing like that. But You're not going to come in, down the lane and think that it's all sweet, you know, especially, you know, if you're hitting me, you know, for layup after layup all game, somebody got to put a stop to that. So I'm with all that. But this right here, this is ridiculous, bro.
I got a novel concept, and I'm going to paraphrase the color analyst there on that call we just played in your pickup basketball game situation. Mm. Why don't you play defense? Maybe not let your man get to the rack. Maybe you move your feet a little bit better. Maybe you pick up your stance. You worried about taking somebody out because they got past you?
No. They got past my teammate. I'm going to play defense, and I'm going to knock you down.
Then why don't you go bust your teammate in the head?
Oh, we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it. Yeah, we're going to talk about that, too. But in the meantime, I'm knocking you down.
Are you a throw at the batter guy, too?
No. And that's it's not universal, right? Okay. And this is where it goes to the other
side. Feel like the same thing to me.
They do. I understand that. I get it. But it's not universal for me. It's not, you know, cut and dry. Because if I'm Machado, I'm coming to talk to you, bro. I'm coming to talk to you. You're not just going to sit up here and throw 95 at me because you mad because you gave up a bomb. I'm going to come talk to you. We gonna talk on the mound. He lucky that wasn't me at the plate. he real lucky that wasn't me at the plate. I'm coming to talk to him.
Is there an unwritten rule that you can't charge the mound if the lead is too large?
See,
maybe we don't know about that. See, you mentioned this a moment ago that you're a big baseball fan. I like baseball, but it's things like this. I actually love the sport of baseball, and there are aspects of baseball that I just can't that are just so incredible. I look at like pitchers and the unnatural motion of their arm and just how they're able to, you know, their pinpoint accuracy. I find that phenomenal. And watching a great pitching matchup, I think, is one of the most beautiful things in all the sports. Mm-hmm. But it's situations like this where they really lose me. Because I've always talked about baseball's inability to evolve. Right. And this is, you just said when you were talking about getting to the rack, I'm old school. Well, this is an old school mentality, these unwritten rules. And there's so many of them. I lose track of them. There's walking, you know, over mounds. There's, you know, leads. There's you know, bunting, a no hitter. There's, you know, to break up a no hitter or a perfect game. There's things like that. And it's like, this is where you lose me. Yeah. It's a contest, right? There's going to be a winner and there's going to be a loser. I'm going to do my best to win. We act like we haven't seen phenomenal comebacks in baseball before. We're just you hear this all of the time. Oh, you got to play until the buzzer, right? You got to in football, you got to play until the whistle. You got to play until this, you got to play until that. That seems to be the case in every single major sport except for baseball, where it's like, well, play until the unwritten rule comes into effect, and then you just kind of got to chill.
Right. No, this is trash.
They lose me.
It was trash.
They lose me.
It was complete trash. And like I said, these are the type of things that, in my opinion, like you just stated, keep the sport from evolving. I'm going to ask you, Damien, this is maybe it only sticks out in my head, but do you know when was maybe the most exciting time in baseball in the last 5 years? Any baseball? Can you think of
it? The last 5 years, the most exciting time in baseball, the last 5 years. I mean, I thought the A's run was pretty exciting a couple of years ago. I think a lot of what the Giants have done. But something that, I mean, the Cubs winning the World Series.
It was almost unfair for me to propose it that way. But I'll tell you, do you remember the games from the World Baseball Classic in Miami? Do you remember seeing those scenes? I'm going to have you, on the break, I'm going to have you Google it. Because, I mean, it was electric. The baseball players, you know, because I think it was Puerto Rico, the Dominican Republic, and maybe Cuba was in there, along with the USA. And they had come from behind wins and big home runs. And these guys are coming out of the dugout, you know, high-fiving, jumping, getting the crowd hype. The crowd is going crazy. Everything was fair game. Not nobody threw at nobody. You know, for those celebrations, nobody did anything. It was just like, hey, this is what happens. And we move on and we try to continue to compete and play good baseball. And that was, it sticks out to me. Ask any, and like I said, I'm gonna have you look at it. And anybody that's out there listening, just Google, you know, the World Baseball Classic in one of those Miami games. And they are not taking themselves that seriously, where if somebody celebrates with their teammates, there's something that they were able to achieve. that they got to see 95 and, you know, up towards their head or in the back or something like that. And there's too much of that going on in Major League Baseball right now where you can't enjoy yourself, man. Society has changed. The way people express themselves has changed. And they're still stuck back in the 50s and 60s.
You're listening to D-Lo and KC on KIFM West Sacramento, KRXQ HD2 Sacramento, or radio.com sports station, and driven by Lashers Elk Grove Dodge. I have another major issue with something that went on in this game yesterday between the Padres and the Rangers. Actually, more specifically, this one on after the game. This is Padres manager Jace Tingle.
Probably starts with just, you know, picking up the sign. I think like the learning opportunity. And just so you know, a lot of our guys have green light, you know, 3-0. But, you know, in this game in particular, you know, we had a little bit of a comfortable lead. And, you know, we're not trying to, you know, run up the score or anything like that. And so, you know, put on the take sign and you know, probably see a strike right there.
That's weak. Come on, man. Have your players back. What is that? Like, if you want to have that conversation with them privately, I don't agree with it. I think it's silly. But don't do that publicly, man. That's how you lose locker rooms. That's how you lose players. That's how you lose trust. Have your players back. He hit a grand slam for you.
Right.
He got you four more runs on that. What if the Rangers had come back? What if the Rangers not even come all the way back? We don't even have to go full hyperbole. Like, what if they had come back and won in the game? What if they had put up six runs in the next inning?
Right.
You know what I mean? And all of a sudden, that grand slam, maybe it wasn't the four deciding runs, but it's like, okay, we're still in a comfortable position. We go. We got this W. You know, we're all right. How you going? I think it's, unless it's egregious, and I mean, you know, just absolutely, you can't have your players back. In situations like this where we're talking about unwritten rules and you're the manager of a ball club, you've got to have your players back, especially when that player is your best player, or certainly one of them, certainly one of them.